Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 43 of The Casual Temple, and I'm your host, Marilee Duffy. Here at The Casual Temple, we are discovering our connection to the unseen world of spirit and how that empowers us to know our true selves. Want to support the show? It's simple. Subscribe and leave a star review on your favorite podcast platform, or you can go to the Casual Temple donation page on Red Circle, linked in the show notes below. We love hearing from you. Drop us a note on casualtemple.com. Your feedback means the world to us. You can also join our mailing list for the chance to win a free aura reading with me, Marilee. We select a winner every month, and your name stays in until you win. In this episode of the Casual Temple podcast, we're lighting the lamp of knowledge with our guest, Frater Eleftheria. Now imagine if Indiana Jones had a PhD in esotericism and spent 14 years deep diving into the mysteries of the universe. Yes, that's who we're chatting with today, the brilliant mind and spiritual explorer behind the YouTube channel Lifting the Lamp. Frater Eleftheria doesn't just talk about magic, he lives it. From dissecting the ancient wisdom of the Kabbalah to sharing personal insights on the Holy Guardian Angel. If you've ever been curious about the occult, mysticism, or even what it means to walk an authentic spiritual path, then you want to stay for the whole interview. Remember, here at the Casual Temple, we keep the lights on so you can find your way. Well, welcome to the Casual Temple. Today, we have the pleasure of hosting a truly enlightening guest, Frater Eleftheria, who is a creative spark and spiritual explorer behind the excellent YouTube channel, Lifting the Lamp. If you've ever been curious about magic, esotericism, or the occult, he's your guy. Frater Eleftheria has an incredible talent for blending deep historical insights, practical wisdom, personal experience, and a presentation style that's both engaging and totally approachable. Having spent over 14 years immersing himself in various spiritual traditions, Frater Eleftheria has poured his heart and soul into creating a space with Lifting the Lamp that helps others awaken, find balance, and connect with their true divine nature. Frater Eleftheria, welcome to the Casual Temple.
Thanks for having me, Marilee.
Yes, thank you. I usually try to share if I've kind of, you know, how I came upon your content, which I think is really excellent. You have a really great knack for teaching. I wouldn't be surprised if in your other day life you are a teacher or do a lot of presentations. But let's see, I think one of the first videos I watched, and we're going to maybe chat a little bit about, is you discussed your Holy Guardian Angel, because like I'm always interested in that subject. But you've also gone through really well, like the breakdown of the Kabbalah, which I'm very interested in, and, you know, which is not an easy subject to go through. So you did a really great job with that. So yeah, I highly think anybody should check it out if they want to kind of dip their toes into this fascinating arena.
Yeah, well, thanks for the introduction.
Yeah. Well, if you would like to share a little bit about sort of your, I call it your spiritual journey, it doesn't have to be spiritual, but however you got to where you're wanting to create Lifting the Lamp and share your knowledge with everybody else, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So I'll talk a bit about my spiritual journey, maybe from the start.
Sure. So
I've always been spiritual, I guess, as a kid. There's my cat behind me. So I've always been spiritual, but I guess when I was 13, I sort of had what I'd describe as a past life memory. And that kind of woke me up to some things. I sort of saw that I had been in Egypt before the pharaohs. I had a very strong connection to an individual called Thoth, as in the Egyptian god who I intuited had actually been a human being, a living master. And so after I had that experience, I did some more research into Thoth, into Egypt, and I learned about Hermes Trismegistus, which I didn't know before was a figure in the occult. And I sort of got really interested in the Western esoteric tradition and kind of found it from there. And when I was 17, I started to explore magic for the first time. and just found it really empowering and knew that it was something I was always supposed to do. And I say that I found magic, but it really found me. And I know a lot of people have a similar experience. Yeah, and then I wanted to learn more, and I've joined a couple of orders over the years. So I've been in the Ordo Templi Orientis, the Argentium Astrum, which is kind of like the Thelemic Initiatory Order. And then I kind of decided that I didn't really want to keep working in the Thelemic system so much because, I didn't really like Aleister Crowley as a person, and there were just some other reasons for that. And then I sort of explored Gnosticism a bit as well. And yeah, just really interested in the initiatory path and particularly in Western esotericism, and now passing that on to other people. And that's the purpose of the YouTube channel. And I've kind of known for a while that I'm supposed to be like a spiritual teacher. A lot of psychics have told me that over the years. And I didn't really know how to start with that for a long time. And then, during that interesting period that we all lived through from 2020 onwards for a few years, I was at home a lot and had a lot of time to reflect and sort of decided, hey, I should start a YouTube channel. That would be, the ideal platform for this. So I did it and created Lifting the Lamp, and the rest is history, I suppose.
Well, cool. I like that you're sort of doing, was your thought process around doing Lifting the Lamp was to kind of speak to more individual people that are kind of wanting the path instead of maybe joint who weren't maybe interested in joining an order or anything like that. Was that sort of your goal or not really?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it would be useful to people who don't want to join an order as well, to have a way of finding that information. But it's out there for anyone who wants it, really. Perhaps people are in some sort of order or group, and they just want to kind of deepen their knowledge, and the channel is for them as well and their benefit. Yeah.
Well, very cool. Did you have, in addition, I know you joined the different orders, but did you have any support or guidance either via an individual or any specific teachers along the way that really helped you along?
Yeah, well, I mean, most of my journey has been quite solitary and sort of a lot of self-taught sort of things. But there have been a few individuals along the way who have helped me. When I was in the AA, the Argentium Astrum, I had a superior, as they're called, who was basically like my teacher and sort of somebody that I could have as a sounding board for all of my own work that I was doing, and whether I was succeeding and getting where I need to go with the different tasks, spiritual tasks that you get assigned in that order. I've had a Reiki, I have a Reiki master as well, because Reiki is sort of one of the other things that I've explored, which I don't talk too much about, just more out of respect for the tradition. But yeah, that certainly has been eye-opening, having that teacher in my life. And yeah, so there's been a few little people who have kind of come in along the way to help me.
That's cool. Yeah, that is something that is really special about an order is to have somebody who's further along the path that you can bounce your experiences off of or ask questions. So that's really cool that you had that available. Were there any, so I know books are a huge part of everybody's spiritual path. Were there some big ones that you can think of that you can share that were important to you?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, there's just so many, like you said. But I will say, like, one thing that has been really helpful for me is, in the AA, there is a curriculum for each grade. And so you get these massive book lists and massive reading lists to work through. And so there's a lot of stuff there that gives you different practices that you can do. There's some stuff in the student curriculum, which is, all of the classics of Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism, like you know the Upanishads and the Tao Te Ching, and the Bhagavad Gita. I guess those core texts. That's more of the kind of yoga and sort of Taoism side of things. The Dhammapada for Buddhism, core foundational text. But those are all kind of quite classical. The stuff from the AA curriculum, going through the tasks, is very helpful, I find. And yeah, sort of more recently, I've been going to my local Theosophical Society library a lot, and I find it's good place to find some other resources. And so, there's people in the Theosophical Society, from the founding members like Alice Bailey and Annie Besant, who kind of, had their own views of initiation and what the different stages are on the path of initiation. So a couple of books in particular that have helped me there are like The Labors of Hercules by Alice Bailey, and also The Masters by Annie Besant, which talks about, the masters in theosophy, the ascended masters, but it sort of also describes the sort of process of transformation that they had to go through spiritually to reach that stage. So, yeah, those are a few recommendations that I would give.
Wow, those are good. Yeah, those are really good. Yeah, I think that's something that's missing for a lot of people. They're starting on that path is like, how do you know you're even on the path? And like, what are some milestones? So that's really, those are really good recommendations. And say, even going to the Theosophical Society library, if you have one locally that you can visit, is also a really good idea.
Yeah, and the Golden Dawn stuff is really good as well. Like, and that's where the AA got most of their stuff from. It's just really neatly laid out. Like, here's where you are in the tree of life. Here's the books you have to read. Here's the practices that you need to do. And it's, yeah, I like how ordered and structured it is.
They did do there's a lot. There's a lot. There's a big old book with all of that information that lays it out for you too. So yeah, very
Yeah.
good.
Is that the big blue one?
Yeah, I think it's blue, right? I have the big black one, the big
All
like,
right.
I don't know, eighth edition or whatever reprint. But yeah, there's a lot in there, but it's really good.
Yeah.
So let's see. We did, you already sort of talked about why you chose to create the Lifting the Lamp YouTube channel. And so one of the first videos, like I mentioned, was the Holy Guardian Angel. And I feel like that video, I recommend everybody watching it. Like all your videos are wonderful. I recommend this one because I read the book. I'm trying to remember the author, but it's After the Angel. And I can't remember the gentleman's name that wrote it. But your video is actually what I was looking for in his book that he didn't explain. And yeah, so
Oh.
I'd like to I don't know, chat a little bit about your experience with that. I know it's like a big experience, but curious about it.
Yeah. So what in particular would you like to know about the whole Holy Guardian
I
Angel experience?
yeah, because I think everybody, at least that I know in the magical community, is very interested in it, right? And what was your approach, I guess, to like sort of establishing an a connection to your angel, and then like what kind of happened after that?
Yeah, okay. So I kind of, yeah, once again, because I was working within the kind of AA type of initiatory path, I looked to those sort of examples of, a holy guardian angel kind of ritual. So the Book of Abramelin, Liber Psalmic, Liber 8, and I kind of took elements of each, and I did Psalmic, but I took inspiration from those other rituals as well to sort of make it into something that was like my own sort of thing. And that would have been in about 2013. And then I spent about 6 months or invoking my angel every day, using the ritual in Samik. And yeah, just trying to meditate after each invocation and just communicate with my angel in that way. And then at the end of that process as well, you know, there was sort of a few days where I kind of went through what I would describe as an existential crisis, you know, where everything kind of started to lose its meaning. But then in the midst of that, that's where I kind of felt the light of the angel really sort of come in and save me and sort of give me a feeling of joy and unity with everything that was kind of beyond this world and didn't depend on the world and just was. And it was really beautiful. And yeah, and so what that thing is that you contact, yeah, there's been a lot of debate about that. And you know, some people say, oh, is it the higher self? Some people say it's something even more kind of abstract than that, like the Atman in the Vedic traditions. And I think, you know, some people say it's a part of you, some people say it's not, it's a separate entity. And yeah, I think there's sort of elements of truth in each of those. I think that it starts off as something which reflects the kind of higher aspects of yourself, which you don't identify with, and then you have to sort of integrate it. But then beyond that, there's sort of a deeper level to it where it is sort of pure divinity, but it has to come to us wearing this mask of the angel. And so that's how I would describe it. But it is really hard to describe, and you know, people have probably got their own subjective experiences of it, who have worked with their own angel that might be different. Yeah, but then in terms of what happens after that, like you were saying, you're reading about an after the angel. It's really so just kind of use Kabbalah as a tool here. So you know, Tifereth is where we attain knowledge and conversation with the Holy Guardian Angel. And then the next stages above that, you've got Geburah and Hesed on the Tree of Life. And so that's really representing the work after knowledge and conversation. And if you look at again, like the tasks of those grades, you sort of get some interesting hints about what you might have to be doing. So there's a lot of stuff to do with the path of justice or Lamed, you know, which is related to karma, in my opinion. And there's stuff about alchemy and inner transformation. So I think it's really about taking your ordinary life and transforming it and transmuting it into something that is more like the angel and kind of becoming more like the angel yourself. And then, you know, and then people sometimes say that the angel is like your future self. And maybe that's kind of, there's an element of truth to that because you're ultimately trying to integrate that on the path. And yeah, I think that's probably the next stage. And also just trying to keep in contact with that force, with that deep inner divine part of our being, and just strengthening that relationship. And it doesn't necessarily take the form of you know, invoking it and having a chat, you know, but it can just, yeah, I mean, maybe it does, I don't know, maybe it does happen for some people in a very literal way, but it can also happen with just being present in the moment and being called back to pure presence and pure consciousness. More often than you might have, or more often than you might have done before, you actually felt that part of yourself for the first time. So yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on the Holy Guardian Angel, all kind of wrapped up.
Yeah, I mean that's really good in like a very short amount of time to kind of like explain that kind of very strange and abstract concept. The thing I appreciated about like even you said it when you were explaining was like the connection with the angel could be lost, right? Like, yeah, it's like a thing, it's like a relationship. You got to kind of keep working at it and working at it. And it's not like it's lost forever. It's always there. Like, right? The angel is always there. It's just like the
Yeah.
ability to kind of let that, I don't know, become you or part of you. It can be like lost, and the connection is, you know, you have to work at it again. You have to keep working at it like a marriage. You gotta keep that relationship going. But
Yeah.
that's something I've never heard anybody say. And maybe other people have said it. I just haven't read it on my in the things I've looked at or read. So I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and it's, you know, some people when they're talking about losing their connection with the angel, it's sort of describing something different to that. It's sort of saying that your connection is severed and that's it. You're sort of
Right.
lost and you can never contact the angel again. But I don't think that that ever happens, you know, because we're talking about divinity here,
Right.
and you know, there's always the door is always open with the divine, if we're just willing to approach it, no matter what else has happened in life. And so if we do lose that connection, it's something on our end. You know,
Right.
if we're too closed off from it, or we're preoccupied with life, or we're a bit skeptical or something like that. And so the way to not lose the connection is to keep it up. Keep trying to get in touch with that part of us, or that part of the universe, whatever you want to call it, and just keeping the connection open and not closing ourselves off.
Oh yeah. Again, like very explained very well, 'cause I think there might be this misconception about at least in maybe the sort of the conversations I've had, it's just, oh yeah, I just need to check off getting contact with the Holy Guardian Angel off my list, like check, and then I move on or whatever. But yeah, it's not necessarily the case. It's just like a consistent thing. So yeah, I like
Yeah.
that you walked us through that. Let's see. Oh, so again, you're really good at explaining very complicated things. So, and you did a really good,
Thanks.
yeah. So then my next question, I'm preparing everybody. I'm preparing you as well. 'Cause you did do a wonderful video about the aeons, and I thought it was great. I think you did two videos actually, now I think about it. But they were really good. But can you describe for our folks listening that might not be familiar with what an aeon is? And then we'll kind of go into the next question.
Yeah, sure. So the aeons is sort of, you know, one of the main sort of ideas in Thelema. It's sort of related to the idea of the ages. So people typically think of an aeon as like a period of time, much like an astrological age. Like you've got the age of Pisces, and now we're entering the age of Aquarius. And in a similar vein, you know, we had the aeon of Osiris, and now we're entering the aeon of Horus, or entered it in 1904, I should say. So that's sort of the Thelemic belief. And so people often say the two are kind of the same or similar, but an aeon, in addition to meaning like a period of time, it's also like a sphere of influence of a particular cosmic power, like a particular god. And if you think about the way that the aeons are described, you know, because Thelema didn't invent the concept of aeons, there's aeons in Gnosticism as well.
Right.
But the aeons in Gnosticism are like the angels that inhabit the different planetary spheres, and the aeon encompasses that particular sphere of that particular planet. So it's very much like their jurisdiction, you could say. And so the key concept of the aeons is that at a given time in history, a different god or a different energy kind of becomes dominant, and that determines, you know, what that kind of period of time is going to be like for
Right.
humanity, the sort of dominant forms of spirituality that will emerge in that period of human history. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've been playing with the concept of aeons because it kind of helps at least frame or understand the different waves of humanity has gone through. And I think even Lon Milo Duquette explained really well, like we're in the era of Horus. Previous to that, we were in the era of Osiris, I think, at least in his concept. And then before that, it was Isis or whatever. So you have like the mother, the paternal father age, and then now we're moving into the child age. And that kind of helps, I think, at least for me, kind of think about, okay, the different things that humanity has had to go through those different ages and learn or just, you know, figure out how to move forward. And so I think it's an interesting concept. So thank you for walking through aeons with us. But then, yeah, you had
Yeah,
this
my
really
pleasure.
cool, yeah, thank you. Yeah, you had this cool in your videos. You had, again, they're really well done, but you had this idea of like the layering of aeons. I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you remember that. And that they don't necessarily have like a really hard and fast start and end. Would you kind of walking us through what the concept was behind that? Because it was really cool.
Yeah, well, there's kind of a couple of things there, I guess. In terms of aeons not having a hard and fast start and end, I didn't talk about it so much in the video, but there's always kind of like a cusp period, and it's the same with the astrological ages. You know, you've got right behind you, the wheel of the zodiac. There's always that cusp period, the first few degrees of each sign, where the energies are kind of like both there together, and there's a transition point from one to the next. So it's not like it, you know, on this date, you know, it, you know, at one stage everyone thought December 21st, 2012 was going to be the hard start date of the new age. You know, it doesn't quite work that way. It's like a gradual sort of thing, a gradual change. Still, quite some radical transformations can happen in that cusp period, but it still takes its time, I guess. But yeah, what I was talking about in the video when I was talking about layering is it's kind of this thing that came to me in my own journey, where I sort of realized that when one aeon ends, it's not really gone, or when one spiritual age ends, it's not really gone. So it's more that rather than the old being replaced by the new, it's like the new is built on top of the old. So, you know, in that video, I kind of talked about like a tree and how a tree grows. And, you know, if you cut a tree down and you look at the trunk, there's like the concentric circles of every, you know, every year that the tree was alive. And so the past is still there. And the outermost layer is just building on what went before. And I think it's the same with the aeons. And, you know, you can kind of think of some examples with, with Thelema. We're in the Aeon of Horus, and we've got these orders that are promulgating the Aeon of Horus, but there's still initiations and there's still rituals that relate to the dying and rising god. And the mysteries of death and resurrection, which is very much related to Osiris. It's related to the Christ. It's related to the religious forms of the old aeon. And perhaps there's stuff added in there, but with, you know, that other stuff from the past is sort of brought into the present as well to work with it, maybe in a different form than before, for a different.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Purpose. And then if you look at the Aeon of Osiris and you look at all of those cults of like Osiris, for example, it's really all about the seasons. It's all about the cycles of fertility in nature and the way that nature kind of goes through a hibernation period in the winter, and then in the springtime, you know, there's the renewal of life, and that gets embodied in the form of a deity. And that's why, you know, that's why December 21st is kind of where it is. I mean, not December 21st, I'm thinking of the solstices, but December 25th, Christmas time, it's kind of the placement is deliberate because it's kind of when the church did that and chose that for the time when Jesus was born, it was appropriating that earlier spiritual form that related to the seasons. And, you know, and we still have Christmas trees, which are pagan, even though it's a Christian holiday. So these things sort of things sort of continue on in a different form, and the past never really leaves us. It just kind of takes on a different purpose, I guess. That's what I was sort of getting at with what I was talking about on the aeons in that video.
Yeah, it's such a cool concept. So especially with the example of the tree is so like, yeah, I think anybody can kind of understand that, you know, because everybody wants to know why is everything the way it is? Why do we do things this way? And it's just like it's just the keep building and building on things that came before, but also make something new at the same time. So it's very very cool concept. I like that one a lot. Let's see. Oh, I did want to ask really quick on that because I don't know if you've seen the film The Road at all. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, a few years ago I did see it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty intense movie. And I always think about my husband and I, we talk about The Road all the time. I know it was like a graphic novel and I think a book before that. But it's kind of the same concept because, oh, yeah, go on.
I was just gonna say, I hope that that's not what the future looks like. I don't think that it will, but you know,
No.
we're treading a fine line at the moment.
Yes, for sure. I think the thing about the road that was reminding me of what you're saying is it's literally like the new thing trying to assert itself, the new world trying to assert itself on the frame of the old world. Trying not to give away too much, but I think there's like it's a much bleaker concept than your more beautiful concept of the tree. But yeah, it has some things that remind me of that. But yeah, I don't
Yeah,
think it's going to
well,
be the road.
let's hope that that's not the way that the new age has to unfold.
No. We're getting it out. We're getting all that catharsis out in the films and the books and stuff. So it's not going to be that way, you know? Yeah. And then so yeah, you always put out a lot of really great content. And the last one that I saw before I went on vacation was this really cool video you did about the misconceptions of enlightenment, which I think was like, wow, I've never seen anybody do that before. That kind of led into you talking about spotting egoic teachers or practitioners. Is that something you wanted to kind of that you maybe encountered before and wanted to like warn people about? Like, what was sort of your thinking behind creating that particular video?
Well, the short answer to have I encountered egoic teachers is yes, unfortunately. It just seems like, and I hope this isn't too much of a generalization, but it seems like the occult can attract certain types of people who can be quite nasty. I mean, it attracts all kinds of
Oh,
people
sure.
who have good intentions, but it can also attract more narcissistic types who see the occult as a source of power, or at the very least, something that they can pretend gives them power and then use to manipulate other people. So unfortunately, yes, they can. And I mean, the classic example of that is the cult leader using spirituality in that way. So unfortunately, there can be people like that. Who can be hard to spot at the beginning because they put on an act, and I've known people like that, unfortunately. Not part of my life anymore, but definitely something worth looking out for. And yeah, part of that, I guess, is looking for fake forms of spirituality, and I guess people with a pretense of spirituality who really are just doing it out of a sense of ego. Yeah, I'm trying to think of specific examples of that, but I guess just if there's anything that someone is doing that feels off, and then they're not accountable for it, and they try and use some kind of spiritual justification about karma, or it's just a lesson that you have to learn, or anything like that,
right?
Then that's a big red flag. And I think there's another category, which is people who might have started off with good intentions, who develop a sense of spiritual pride because of how much they've succeeded on the path, and then that can sort of lead to a dynamic of kind of trying to establish a moral superiority. And so that's a kind of false enlightenment as well. And I'm not sure how much I spoke about those specific things in my last video on misconceptions about enlightenment. But yeah, I did another video on identifying cults and cult leaders, which is on my channel, which goes into more detail about that.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Yeah, I think I'll have to watch that one for sure to kind of bookend this one. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought sort of that up, and especially in the occult, because fortunately I've been blessed to have just met just really wonderful people through the occult community, just very, you know, people who like to read and who are curious and are open. And those are the things that are very important to me. So I've been very, very blessed in that manner. But yeah, you always got to keep an eye out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, again, really good videos to watch in addition to everything else. Okay, so how would you describe, if somebody were to ask you, like myself, how would you describe your current spiritual path? Like, what does it look like to somebody?
Okay. Well, you're asking me that question, a kind of interesting point in my path, because I'm sort of at a point where everything's being deconstructed, and you know, there's nothing really much solid to grasp onto in terms of defining myself one way or the other.
Right.
And it could just be the point that I'm at. But broadly speaking, very much a practitioner of the Western esoteric tradition and everything that sort of comes under that umbrella. And I'm still kind of, even though I'm no longer consider myself a Thelemite, I'm still following the AA sort of grade system in terms of measuring where I'm at in my own development, my own spiritual development. And, you know, I mentioned Gnosis as well. There was a period of time where I was a part of the Gnostic movement of Samael on Weor, and that has its own kind of initiatory path, which draws a lot from theosophy, like those theosophical texts that I mentioned before, and like Rosicrucianism and stuff, and some Kabbalah, you know, the usual sort of stuff. But yeah, that's still something that I follow as a guide to where I'm at on the initiatory path. And it's different. It's a different kind of focus to the AA. The AA is all about kind of accomplishments in terms of how well you can meditate or do magic or astral travel or any of that sort of thing. Whereas the focus in the sort of modern Gnostic stuff, which is very influenced by G.I. Gurdjieff as well, is like the work on oneself. So it's all about identifying things that we have in the ego that are holding us back from, I guess, fulfilling our full divine potential, and then finding a way to transform that and embody a virtue instead. And yeah, so that combined with some of the other tasks that are inspired by the AA and the Golden Dawn sort of system is still practically what I'm doing on the spiritual path. In terms of, you know, because that's all very broad, the things that I work with the most from that very broad sphere is like Enochian magic is something that takes up a lot of my time and a lot of my interest. And it's something that I've done a lot of work with over the years. And something where I've tried to sort of push the boundaries of the known, I suppose, in terms of how that system is practiced and understood, and, you know, working with the Holy Guardian Angel. So angelic magic is very much my thing. And that's what colors my spiritual path the most. And the things that are coming up in my future related to work that I've done with those kind of forms of angelic magic and bringing things to fruition and transformations to fruition that sort of begun, that were begun with working with those angels. So, you know, sharing some of the knowledge that I was able to get, that I was very blessed to obtain by scrying with those angelic entities and just, yeah, presenting that at some point. And yeah, I guess now that I'm not really part of a, you know, like Thelema or Gnosis or anything like that, but I'm still using the tools, I guess I've started to really try and get to the source,
right,
of, you know, where those kind of more modern movements came from, go back to the source material and try and be faithful to what, you know, what these systems were originally intended for when they were first created. So, you know, it's been taking me back, you know, with the Enochian magic and with the magic of the Holy Guardian Angel, it's sort of been taking me back to Jewish mysticism and Christian mysticism and and if you go even further back to ancient Egypt, because that's ultimately where all this knowledge came from that made its way to, you know, I've just done a video on all of the Egyptian influences on the ancient Israelite religion and all of the ancient Greek stuff that is where Hermeticism came from, ultimately right. Goes back to Egypt. So I've just been trying to trace it back and find where it all began. So I'm sort of looking to the future, but I'm also looking far back into the past as I can.
Right.
And I guess that brings us full circle to, you know, what started my entire journey with that past life memory. But yeah, that's sort of what's occupying me at the moment on my spiritual path.
Wow. Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, it's definitely like things that keep echoing or concentric circles and spirals of like, oh, it's just like these things keep coming up. And it's very cool that you've been able to identify that in your life and talk about it. And I think it's very special because then other people can see in their lives, like, what does that look like for them? So I think it's very cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it is hard to talk to people about. And, you know, it's not, you know, I can't be the only person who remembers past lives and, you know, is interested in magic and all of that. But you can't just start talking about that at a party because most people just think that you're a bit weird. And, you know, so it's always really good to meet people that share that interest. But also, yeah, I do hope that me talking about it gives other people confidence to sort of to accept that part of them and accept the experiences that they're having are true on some level. And because I guess, you know, the society that we're in is very materialistic and very skeptical and will have you second guessing yourself when you have those kinds of experiences. So it's good to hear that I might be encouraging people in that respect.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Thank you for doing that. I think sort of on top of what you've shared already about your path. Are there, what can you tell us about like a daily, if you have a daily practice, like certain things that you do in a day, like a regular day, so folks can kind of get their head around what that looks like for themselves, maybe.
My daily practice or my regular practice is, not at its best at the moment. There was a time where I would meditate every day, and then that sort of became meditating once a week, and now I sort of meditate less than once a week, but when I can. But I think that meditation is, a very, very good spiritual practice for people to do. So I try and meditate as much as I can, and probably not enough. But in terms of other things that I do, I'm constantly doing the work on oneself, like is described by Gurdjieff, a kind of inner psychological process of reflection, on things that I can change, and then trying to change them, and engaging in that sort of inner alchemy of trying to transmute things, the lead into gold, and just redirecting energy to help me to do that more effectively, and I guess just trying to be present as much as possible. Like if I'm going for a walk, or there's a sort of period where not much is happening, instead of looking at my phone or something, I'll try and just go back to the present moment and just sit in consciousness, and try and just maximize the amount of time that I can spend in that kind of state of consciousness, I suppose. So there was a time where I did banishings every day. I don't do that so much anymore. That's when I was a lot more serious about the AA, and still a member. But those are the main practices that I'm doing at the moment.
I mean, being in the present moment is already are a huge thing to kind of, not huge, but it's, it does take practice. So it's cool that you're consistently practicing that for sure.
Yeah, and it can feel like you're not doing much, but it's a bit of a paradox, because when you get that stillness, that's when you have the breakthroughs. Once the mind gets out of its own way, then things that have sort of been brewing in the unconscious can kind of come out, and you have those moments of, I should do this.
I think that's like most people, and I find this a lot, but a lot of people share that they get their best ideas in the shower. I get a lot when I'm doing the dishes or cooking, because it's like my mind is just wandering, but I'm engaged in something else. I get, direct messages from whatever like come in. So I think there's just being that sort of open and channel kind of thing to be, move forward, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess that's what magic is all about, in a way, is getting yourself, when you're going through a ritual, it's a series of repetitive movements and ritualized movements, which kind of allow certain parts of your mind and your body to be preoccupied so that something else can come through. So, that's why ceremony is so important in this particular, magical path. So it's interesting that you notice that with the, even something like washing the dishes, that's a daily ritual. But so it's interesting that you received those sort of downloads at that particular point.
For sure. Doing the dishes, and yeah, you mentioned sort of doing banishings and stuff. When I was also doing a lot of banishing, that's when stuff was coming in too, because you're kind of doing those repetitive things all the time. So yeah, there's something about that. It's very interesting. Let's see. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing. Like, this was very cool. I get to ask all these questions I've been burning about. Like, I reached out to you, I think, in, I don't know, March or April, and you're so kind, and you were like, oh, in the future, if I have some more time. So I'm so happy that you were able to make some time and we could chat. But are there any upcoming events or projects that you wanted to let us know about?
Well, nothing that nothing in the immediate term, but I'd like to do more interesting stuff in the future, but before I can get to that stage, I sort of am very focused on building my channel and building my subscriber base, so enough people see it. So yeah, just more interesting stuff. More interesting stuff is in store on the channel, and I mean, I have the intention of doing more community posts for members. I don't know if I'll have the time to do that, but certainly, like, I'll keep posting the videos, and I always try and think of an interesting topic for people that I haven't covered too much before. Particularly people that are interested in Western esotericism. Yeah, so just keep an eye on the channel. Subscribe, of course, if you don't mind me plugging the channel.
Course not.
Just keep an eye on Lifting the Lamp on YouTube.
Yes, lifting. I'm trying to remember. I did this. I had Foolish Fish on a couple episodes ago, and he's wonderful. He's a wonderful person as well. But I'm trying to remember when I started watching your channel, like what the subscriber count was. I feel like it was like maybe like 4,000, 5,000, somewhere in there. But now I think the last time I saw you were like 18,000. So you've kind of grown, and I haven't been watching that long. So like you've kind of grown quite a bit over time. So it's been very cool to see. So I like that.
Yeah, and it's very rewarding to look back and see how things have changed. It'd be amazing if I could reach 100,000 subscribers.
Well, you can do it. Like I said, Denny, when I was watching his Foolish Fish channel, I was like, yeah, I think I started watching at 2,000 and now he's at like 130,000. So, it can happen for sure.
And it's a real surprise, When I first started doing this, I thought that it was going to be a real niche kind of a thing. It's really surprising how many people there are now that are interested in esotericism, and it makes you wonder, are we living through like a 21st century occult revival, or like have people always been interested in this and just never felt that they could express it or look for it?
Yeah, I think it's both, probably, right? I think it's a bit of not being able to express or be openly interested in it. And then now is the time, right? And now is the time you can be. And so now it's a little more visible, which is great.
I like what you said about now is the time, because spiritually this point in history, it is very interesting, and there's a lot of things happening and a lot of people being incarnated for various reasons, to do with spiritual growth, and it's an exciting time to be alive, I think. Even though there's a lot of chaos and a lot of things breaking down as well, there's that other thing that's coming through as well.
Yes, they kind of, unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, they kind of, those things kind of go together. So, to kind of tie in with the whole balance and all of that stuff. Very cool. So we already talked about where we can find Frater Eleftheria on Lifting the Lamp on YouTube. Are there any other places that folks can seek you out?
Yeah, well, there is a Frater Eleftheria Lifting the Lamp kind of Instagram. I don't use it very much, and I don't tend to check my messages on there anymore. And if I do post, it's usually to promote something on YouTube. I have a Spotify, but I just started it, and there's like one video on there, which is like my very first. Or video or recording, I should say. And it's like the very first video that I did when I started the channel in 2021. So that's not really up and running. So I'm pretty focused on the YouTube channel and just growing that. And if you want to see what I'm up to, then that's the primary medium that I'm using still.
Yes, so YouTube, yeah, everybody's different. Everybody has like the thing that is like their most focus on, so it makes sense that for you it would be YouTube. Well, cool. Well, kind of wrapping up, sort of the last question is, in addition to all the wisdom you've already shared, what are some words of wisdom that you would like to leave us with today?
Sure. Well, yeah, I guess I'd like to share something that I kind of learned when I was learning how to contact my holy guardian angel, like we spoke about earlier. And that is really to do with the inner light that we have. We're all sparks of the divine. Once you strip away all of the other stuff, the mental body, the emotional body, the physical body, we are these sparks of divinity. And that spark of divinity is something that is, because it comes from the divine, it needs nothing else. And so it's pure joy and it's pure bliss, and we can make contact with that. And when we do, and we can tap into that, it can bring, a whole lot of light into our life. And and really enrich us and keep us going like nothing else can. And I guess it's important to remember that. Well, I mean, that's the goal anyway, right? But in these times more than ever, it's important to remember that, I think, because I mean, let's face it, the world is it's in quite a state at the moment with all of the upheavals that are going on. I mean, I mean, is World War III going to break out tomorrow? Who knows? Maybe. But in times like this, you sort of are reminded that everything in the world kind of breaks down in the end. And sometimes we live through those periods. But even in that kind of chaos, and even in those sort of darkest hours, we can still rely on that inner divinity to get us through. So that's what I want to leave people with.
Oh, yeah, definitely bright words for dark times. So, yeah, that's really good things to remember. So, yeah, well, yes, thank you, Frater. I'm so happy that we got to chat today and looking forward to more videos.
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn, and thanks for having me on today. I really enjoyed it.
Frater Eleftheri is so knowledgeable and was so kind and open about his journey into some really fascinating spaces. You have to check out his Lifting the Lamp YouTube channel, as he talks about really fascinating spiritual and magical subjects. I'm always checking out what new topics he dives into next, so do check out the show notes for all the links. Come explore the ethereal with us. Let's show the world you support the content on the Casual Temple podcast by liking, following, and subscribing on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. Do drop us a note at casualtemple.com. We'd be delighted to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in and being an essential part of the Casual Temple community.
If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks, plus you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at shipstation.com/audio. That's shipstation.com/audio.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.